You're halfway through our School of Motivation, and this is usually the point in our dreams and our individual journeys towards our goals that we start to struggle. Ideas that we had, that we loved at the beginning, start to feel a bit like a grind, and we might lose some momentum. So I sat down with Ben and Tomo to discuss maintaining momentum, executing a bit of self-discipline in order to stay on track towards our goals, and how your values can help you maintain your plan. Tomo reminds us that to know where you're gonna go, you have to remind yourself of where you've come from. And it's getting a little more personal. Without meaning to, the guys end up opening up about their love lives in this episode. Basically, we're pushing you through the midweek grind. And Ben is doing his best not to swear.
Commando mindset.
Are we recording?
Uh-huh. Yes. I'm trying to record the podcast this whole time.
Stop swearing.
Can you edit out my swearing, please?
Yeah, of course I will. I have to. I have to edit out all your fucking swearing.
We're in motion. We're moving along.
Well, it's in theme with what we're talking about today, because you are waving your hand in my face.
I'm in motion.
Right,
this is motion.
Of the...
Well, you just dropped acid.
We're in motion.
Of the...
What?
Of the...
Motion of the... Score of... What?
I've got some serious fucking editing to do on this one, haven't we?
I have no idea where you're going.
Of the ocean? Never heard that? No?
No.
Nothing? No.
Is that a song?
No.
I'm just wondering if you can tell us any more of them stories, possibly when people are listening to them when they're trying to get their heads
down.
Wow,
I just thought it was going to be an easy turn to.
Motion of the ocean? Is that a sexual reference?
I don't know. Maybe.
It is.
Anyway, we're here.
It's not about the boat, motion. Is it, Tomo? It's not about the boat. It's about
the motion of the ocean.
That's where I've used it.
Oh, the lady listeners are listening. Like, what a player.
Oh, tell me about it. Could we please talk about Tomo chat up lines, please?
All right, B.
Hi, B. Can we talk about Tomo chat up lines, please?
They're not exclusively, like most chat up lines around the world, they're not exclusively originated to the originator of the person telling the chat up line, so I'm not going to take credit for those. I have heard some of them, but
there were a couple of funnies this morning though. They were hell, like I was laughing a lot, which I'm not sure is the reaction you want from a chat up line, but
no, I think it is. Good one is
get their attention.
If you were a transformer, you'd be part of the fitter bots and your name would be Optimus Fine.
That was the worst one.
All right, okay, next one then.
Roses.
All right, chill out, I was doing it. Don't put words in my mouth.
You can't say this.
Roses are red, violets are blue, I suck at chat up lines, nice tits.
How have we got here?
And there was one other one that I liked.
My mum listens to this podcast.
Does she?
Yeah. And my auntie. And you're talking...
But it doesn't represent me maintaining course. I think some of the listeners will probably listen in and they're going, yeah, Tomo's still incredibly socially awkward.
Oh, bless. Yeah. I think they've built bless? A perception of you.
What do you mean bless?
Yeah. Blessed as a man is the worst.
I was so degrading. It's like going, yes, yeah. Thank you.
People
the
say
worst.
At school,
you're cute.
Aren't you cute?
I used to get called cute all the time.
That means I don't stand a chance.
Well, I say all the time is really.
Hey, cutie. You're in a year higher than
it's
me.
It's like being friend zoned instantly.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, he's so cute.
He's so cute. Didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Why are we talking about this shit anyway?
Because, you know, we're just there.
This is School of Motivation.
So it's a school. Yeah, you know, we need some school. Playground banter.
Also,
because I was confused.
I did write down the word love last time because some of the points you were making I thought related very much to relationships.
There she goes.
We're
not doing this
episode.
And
like some people might want to be motivated to go and find love to get the relationship right.
Not
to
in
get
this
things
episode
sorted.
Or podcast ever.
Dude, it's true. They do. Look, we got a message from a guy who decided to propose to his girlfriend because of this podcast.
Congratulations to you
as
well.
My love.
We know you're listening.
Had like messages.
Make
of
sure
people.
Three invites to the wedding.
Yeah,
and not evening guests.
Yeah, I'll be gutted. Be gutted.
But you know, people—a big part of people's lives—is their intimate relationships, and sometimes their inspiration and motivation and everything they're doing is to want to find their one, their soulmate, their buddy for life, or I guess some people are using our motivation to get the fuck out of a relationship too.
Good point.
Valid. But it relates to relationships, whether you like it or not, Tomo. So your chat-up lines are valid.
I think they're lacking validity because they've got no successful results from it.
You're a married man.
Well, yeah.
That didn't come from a chat-up line, though, did it?
No, it did not. No.
Did you call Bianca Optimus Prime? You said
you wanted to... But can I get the birthday girl a drink?
Yeah, I said.
Can I get the birthday girl a drink? All right, mate, can you get the birthday girl a drink?
I get the prize.
I'll make her mine.
I did use some reverse psychology, though. She was going to leave without my number. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, just before you do that, just, you know, call me to make sure you've got the right number.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate it
when guys do that to me.
And then she called me. And then she realized, like she said a few like weeks later, she was like, oh, you absolutely got me on that, didn't you? I was like, yeah, it was well worth it though, wasn't it?
That was clever. I hate it because like when you give a guy a fake number and they're like, oh, I'll just call you now so you've got mine. I'm like, no, don't. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just text me sometime soon. It's fine. Like,
yeah, but I gave my genuine number to her.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ensure that it was like two way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you meet your wifey?
School.
Oh.
Mm.
Really?
God, maybe the, oh. Maybe we are talking about love. I don't want to talk about it. I don't mean that. It's a lovely story, mate, honestly. But I feel we're going into the...
Getting into the reeds of our life here.
Here we go.
Didn't you want it to be more personal?
Oh, it's a personal podcast anyway.
Kept sort of... Please, will you go out me? No, fuck off, you're annoying. Oh, please, will you go out me? No, write her a letter. Will you go out me? Yeah. And then she'd like... caved in. So, oh, I'll go with him.
Oh, so much pressure. Hey, but at the end of the day, what we all talk about is never give up. Tenacity. Mm. Keep going.
We're talking about action. We're talking about maintain and retain. You know, it took a 10-minute intro about our wives to get there, but we're now here.
We're here.
It's talking about, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
That was the first chat-up line. I think we may have lost this episode completely.
No, it's on track.
Oh,
it's on
dear.
Track. We're maintaining a level.
We've lost discipline.
We've lost discipline, but we're maintaining.
People want to hear what we're really like.
Okay, so this is, listen, we wanted to give them a quick half an hour workout every morning to help them with their motivation. We started off talking about self-drive, or rather, what's next, then self-drive. And now we're on a kind of middle ground of maintain and retain, how to maintain motivation. Like, everyone starts off great, like really excited about the relationship. No, I mean, really excited about your plans, really keen, really going. You've made your list. You've done everything. Go, go, go. And then how do you maintain that motivation, you know?
Oh, really good point, actually. Through. Maybe I've stumbled across something now, which I'm, yeah. Oh, go on. Go with it. So I said this.
I always have to go with it with you.
I know.
Go on.
So, yeah, working towards something on a daily basis requires daily disciplines, daily work required. And a pretty good way to, I suppose, bring this up is that in a relationship, you're not 100% responsible for that relationship, but you are responsible for your 50%.
You're 100% responsible for your 50%.
Correct. So, therefore, that requires daily work to ensure that you are being, for example, me, the best husband possible. But that's also translatable to your goals, your things that are important to you. You establish the goal and then you do the daily discipline to ensure that you're just doing a little bit more towards it if it's strong enough, you know, referencing off what we spoke about the other week. This pull idea has to always be there. It has to be extant. It has to be in your mind consistently. But then it has to be, you have to be motivated to take the daily actions in order to be able to work towards and progress towards the goal. So it's just maintain is the hard work element of achieving what you want to achieve.
The grind.
That's what people refer to, because you can grind so hard, just like a relationship, very easy. If you're the only one grinding, you got a 50% success rate. Honestly,
were you
like
back in the nightclub now?
Being like in the playground with these two.
Well, you
ridiculous.
Wanted it to be like a playground.
I just immediately pictured two people in bed with only one grinding.
What are you doing? I'm rubbing.
Why is that?
Well, and him going, well, if I'm the only one grinding.
Yeah, 100% grinding.
I always
you have gone right thing. Down a rabbit hole.
I always put 100% effort into grinding. But
I'm not sure if I want to be associated with this episode
or this podcast anymore.
Yeah.
But the point is, look for what we're trying to say before it just got tarnished with your immaturity, the pair of you. You got to put in the work. It's the work. It's the maintain piece. It's the goddamn work.
Well said.
Okay. Where did that come from? Where did the yankin' come from?
So people, a lot of people starting their dreams, their aims, they've set their goals, they've gone for it. And how many people start but don't finish? You know, you hear a lot of parents talk about their kids being like, oh yeah, it's a great starting idea, never finishes it, never completes it.
We, last week we were talking when we were out walking and saying about our children praise too much for just participating, which doesn't teach failure, does it? It doesn't teach loss.
Yeah, like eighth place trophies situation.
Yeah, I was crap at school at exercise, so I always used to come last on runs and stuff. Wait there. What was that?
What?
I was a laugh.
Oh, okay.
Which I think at the time I was like, oh, I wish I was a bit better at this and stopped coming at the back. But then as I move through life, you realise, well, it doesn't really matter losing stuff, and I've done this before, I can do it again. Taught me to fail. And at our school, PE teacher was ruthless. You know, if you weren't in top three, you were a shithouse and they didn't want to know you. Which I know you can't really treat kids like that anymore. But there was some serious learning curves in there, which actually I think set me up as a human being for the future.
So there's almost an idea of not being spoiled there. So being able to maintain something is being able to go through the tough times and not consider yourself a failure for losing and to keep going.
But it also exposes yourself. Well, that doesn't help as well. That one.
I apologize.
What I mean is it...
Wheels have come off.
It exposes you to your true selves. And what I mean by that is it. You go through situations where you've lost, you failed, you passed, you've won. And you build up this resilience, you know, what we were talking about last week, you build up this resilience. So when it comes to the grind later in life, or the grind's there from the start, isn't it? Like, my lad comes back from school and you hear stories of he's not getting on with this person said that, and they've got this to do, and all these things. The grind's there from the immediate moment. Where comes a point in life for us where a lot of us suddenly see the grind disappear for a while and then suddenly the grind comes back again? It's
grind adapts, though, doesn't it, over time? But I don't know if there's always a grind right from the off.
You don't think a child's life's a grind?
Oh,
it depends, because it's like when you think about the ability to learn to walk and to push yourself forward and all these things that they go through, but maybe that's done as a very pull, natural, creative, fun...
But what is... This is my
grind
point,
is like doing the stuff that the bread and butter stuff that's got to be done in order to get somewhere you want to be.
Walking, talking, learning to communicate is exactly that. And I think what we do is we associate the word grind now with exactly what it is. It's that grinding your fist into something. It's hard, it's difficult, but is it rewarding?
There's
definitely worth exploring in that. And I think if you find yourself in the grind too much, then are you actually going in the wrong direction or not on track for where you want to be going?
Because if we relate that back to children, like you're saying, learning to walk and stuff, you see kids like one or whatever younger getting frustrated. Frustrated trying to walk, or frustrated trying to call, or frustrated trying to talk, and
they graze themselves
and they're pushing through, and
and they hurt their knees and they hurt their hands. That's not nice. Everyone's like, oh, it's learning, it's part of life. It's not nice, is it? You know, you're falling over. I remember my kids when they were growing up, they'd fall over like 20 times a day. And I remember Nat, my wife, was like, can you imagine if we walked around as adults falling over 20 times a day? You know, that'd be a grind. I keep tripping over.
That would be hard work.
It would be hard work. But they go through that. So are they actually in turn in their own grind? And then when you go to school and exams, and it's very pressured school. Definitely was when I went through. It's like, be good at sport, otherwise we're not going to like you. Or if you're not good at sport, better be good at arts. And then with all that, make sure you pass your exams. That's a grind. Yeah. Then you go to university. Yeah, you get pissed quite a bit, but you're also learning, you're studying very hard, a grind. Then you go to work life, grind. But where does the grind become something where, oh my God, this is the grind and it's dragging me down? And or you go, this is the grind, but it's part of the journey.
But you hit that like level, don't you? Where you're like, oh no, this is the grindstone. I'm there and I just have to grind through it, you know?
No.
Well, no.
That's why I'm pulling that face.
For a lot of people, once they finish something, and then they get the job, and then it's like, oh, life is the grind, and they just stay there.
Oh.
Then you can't just continuously, like you're saying, you can't continuously just grind and grind and grind because you get nowhere. You have to.
That's kind of almost representing those people who are in jobs that they don't want to be in, and they grind Monday to Friday.
This is what we say, like a life you don't want to be in.
Yes.
Because I guarantee if you know, the only problem in your life is your work. Well, that simply wouldn't be true. Because if you look in your own personal life, I guarantee you that if you're fed up with work, you're probably fed up with a lot of other stuff.
That's so true.
I can honestly say, although, you know, you do look at the clock a lot of times in the military, when am I coming off sentry, I've been here for 2 hours, or when's the ambush and all these types of things. You look at the clock a lot. But I think in general terms, just thinking how I treated my career, I never once looked at the clock that, like,
no.
I wasn't enjoying it. Although there are many times where I was like, this is shit. You know, that shit passes and you begin to just enjoy it again. I remember before the Marines, I would always clock watch. Doesn't matter what job I was in. I was labouring on site. If I was even working on the doors, I was a cleaner for a while. I worked in a cab, always watching the clock. 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And now as well, since joining the Marines, and now to this date, you know, working with Tomo, never check the clock. It's just a joy. It's just enjoy. It's hard. And I see the grind is there, you know, up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning, working on proposals, working on all these things for jobs that were coming up. It's a grind, but it's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable part. So it's no longer, oh, clock watching, this is just a grind, I'm just getting through it till Friday. I hate that Thursday's hump day or something.
Yeah. Hump day, yeah.
Hump day, because we're almost at the weekend. No, here comes Monday. But that's just like the wrong way of thinking. Goodbye, tick those days off of your life. And then when you're 75, you regret it. The grind, there's two perspectives on the grind. The grind's either, oh, trudging through each day, I don't like what I'm doing, I just get through it to get to the weekend. Or there's the, I'm on the grind and I'm enjoying it because I'm going somewhere. You've got to identify which one you're
climbing
on.
Climbing a mountain or just climbing?
Yeah. People climb mountains not to get to the top and look around, do they? And go, wow. They climb to the top to be able to do that, but also say the journey to the top was difficult.
I made it.
I'm one of the few who are here.
And so when you're in that middle point, like we are in the podcast series now, of trying to maintain a grind, because even if it has the best dream in the world, even if your job is something you love, there are times and days where it's not so great. Everyone's going to have those difficult days, and trying to maintain it through those difficult days, I guess we're hitting back on self-discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that self-discipline is, you know, I don't want to labor too much on point because I know we did a whole podcast on it, but the self-discipline piece is just making you do the things when you don't really want to do them. It's the bit where you have to do in order to get to where you need to be.
It all ties up nicely into one thing though, doesn't it? Self-discipline, we believe, creates new habits, because if you do the discipline for a long enough time, it becomes a habit. But then you're beginning to turn from that habit, it's sort of turning action into motion. You're starting to find momentum within what you're doing. Momentum means the grind you're now doing is going somewhere. You know, you're being pulled in a direction towards something you want. You're achieving, you're succeeding, you're failing, you're learning, you're growing, you're going forward. That's the whole way of looking at this action to motion. You know, the motion isn't necessarily always going to be a nice thing to be part of, but it's part of that momentum, isn't it, towards where you want to go. If you don't take action, you'll never gain that motion to create that momentum. And this is great to do, you know, with a third week. This is week three of School of Motivation. There'll be people which we may have called out on the first episode saying you were a sayer or a doer. Now, 3 weeks into doing something, you could get to a point with your goal where you're like, oh, I'm struggling now. Or I'm having to execute more self-discipline on this to stay on track. Where's my momentum? You know, I'm losing motion. All these things. This is a great point to start speaking about it. Because you're in the grind. Those there'll be listeners now who are like, it was fun to think about. Who's done that? Like, were you... It's really fun to think about it. Like, oh, I'm going to be here. I'm going to achieve this. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up. I'm just going to go for a run. It's amazing. Then the alarm goes off. You're like, ah.
Damn.
Doesn't feel as good as it did last night when I was planning it. There's the sayer and there's the doer. The doer still goes through that motion. And they're like, right, I'll get up anyway. I'm going to go and do it. And we probably have lots of people listening now who are like, oh, I said something 3 weeks ago and I'm starting to feel the grind. That's the grind. You've got to get up whether you like it or not. You've got to eat it whether you like it or not. You've got to run on it whether you like it or not. You've got to save it whether you like it or not.
I think for integrity too, something that gets me out of bed often is that idea that I don't want to be the person who says it. I want to be the person that does it for myself.
Which
so
is
I'm
a value.
Like, I said I'd do it, so I have to do it.
Mm.
That tends to be something that does it for me. This I don't want to be the person who...
That's where it wraps up nicely though, isn't it? Where we've spent ages talking about values. And that's your integrity to say... It doesn't matter who's looking. You know, we always say it, what you do in the shadows matters most. When no one's looking, you still get up when you don't want to get up because you said to yourself you were going to get up. That's where you take action and you turn it into emotion is I'm getting up because I said I'm getting up. I don't have to prove it to anyone in this room. You know, I'm getting up because I said I'm getting up.
Does that touch on self-respect?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But maybe self-respect's more of a value as well. But integrity is the strongest word there. Mm. Stay integral to what you say you're going to do. And which for people who are probably trying to maintain and retain right now is ask yourself of your integrity to keep going. Tell yourself you can keep going and then keep going.
Do you remind yourself of the satisfaction of completion? Is that something that you need to remind yourself of repeatedly?
It's like you're in my mind because that was the point I was going to go on to.
Yay.
But this regular review is absolutely essential. You know, sometimes to know where we're going to go, we have to find out where we've come from. And that plays into the goal element as well. You have to routinely check your goals. Routinely, and in some cases, you will need to adapt those goals as you go along.
That's big. That's actually to be able to understand when you're adapting a goal because it needs to be adapted and when you're adapting a goal because you're... You know, losing faith and losing integrity.
Yeah, lost the momentum in it.
How can you pinpoint that? How do you know?
Because you know, you will know that if that goal is important enough to do, linked with the inspiration as to why you want to complete that goal, that will pull you through.
Yeah.
So you have to continue to be aware of these things. Be aware of what did I set myself out to do? What was the... Because 6 months down the line, and a big point of this is never trust your brain.
Never trust your brain?
Never trust your brain. Because you consistently forget. You change the data in your mind
because
of the responses or the scenario that's playing out today. And you come to the conclusion, oh, that was that. And then when you go back and check it, it may not have been exactly how you thought it was.
So what are you trusting? I guess the piece of paper that you wrote the goal down on.
That is why you need to document and reference where you've, what you set out to do. I
like that a lot.
It's a crucial element of this maintenance piece.
There was a study conducted in 2007 by Dr. Gail Matthews of the Dominican University in California. And she recruited 267 people between the ages of 23 and 72 to basically plan their goal setting. They selected a group of people or they set a group of people who didn't write it down or didn't talk about it. And then they set a group of people which did write it down and did talk about it. And she gained back a results of 42% of those who wrote down their long-term goals and who reported it to a friend, as in physically spoke about it, saw progression and success in what they were trying to achieve. A further 70% with that combined, so up to 70%, of all those who participated completed short-term goals, who wrote them down and discussed them between people. And that just sort of goes to prove, you know, that's 267 people who, all there was a diverse group. They'd picked it from across all different walks of life and across all different walks of life. And that just proves almost that way of thinking that just write it down, but also share it with someone and speak about it. It does many things. It holds you accountable,
yeah.
But it gets you ticking, and you can come into work the next day and be like, it's a lot of what we do. We speak to businesses about engagement. How do you engage with people with a business? Well, firstly, you need to know what your people are thinking. So what are the real reasons they come to work? They don't always come to work for your business. They come to work for other things, their mortgages, their people at home, to make a
self-worth.
Difference. Self-worth, purpose. When you ask them about their goals, and this is what we try and do with business leaders, is understand what these people want from their life. You know, do they want to compete in a race? Do they want to be an entrepreneur in time? How can you encourage them and support them during what they're trying to achieve? What we also do is get people amongst themselves, so peer-to-peer, understanding what that person next to them really wants. That very much comes from, people ask all the time, how do you take what you do from the Marines and put it in civilian organizations? And it's things like that. We have a brotherhood, and I know what drives my brother left and right of me, my brothers left and right of me. I know what they feed off. I know who they are. I live with them. I know their goals. I know their ambitions. I know what their hobbies are, and I know their family, you know. And so it means more when you're in an operation, or you're going through a situation, you are more connected to those people because you understand them more. I'm more accountable to then come in and go, oh, how are you getting on with that training towards that race you're heading towards? That's his goal. He wants to be an ultra runner. We had so many guys in my troop alone, which was great because I wasn't much of a runner, who are ultra runners and would set and go off and do competitions. Oh, how are you getting on training towards that? That comment alone may inspire him to just train that little bit harder today. And then vice versa, ask me something. That's a culture. That's a community of people. But it also really helps people progress forwards in what they're trying to achieve. And what you're saying about writing goals down and speaking about goals is, if you do have those right people around you who you can, you know, knock on the shoulder and go, do you know what, I'm having a bit of a stumbling block day today. What do you think? Well, how should I approach this? And you've got that support network. And equally, they come back to you and say the same thing another time. Then when grind time's there, there's someone to support you during that grind time, rather than just you feeling like you're trudging, because that's where people come off. I can't do this. Self-doubt, negative talk comes in. I can't do this. I'm going to give up. Just having that support network there holds you accountable, but also brings you up. And I really believe, like, maintain and retain, you know, it's what we're talking about today. If you're at a point of your goal, your journey, whatever you're doing, who's around you that can help you? You know, who is around you that can help you and just be there for you on that day, which just encourages you to go for that run? Or just put that extra £10 in the bank. You know, there's little things that make a huge difference.
And have you made the necessary changes to your environment, your home, the place you spend lots of time? What's in the fridge? What's on the walls? You know, are you putting up inspirational quotes? Are you now going filtering through your social media and unfollowing the things which are not helping you directly? Use your phone as the greatest tool for motivation, inspiration, and keeping you going as you can, because it's personal. Don't let it be corroded and corrupted with what people want you to hear about their lives and stuff like that. Make the choice. Make the decision to go, I'm going to go on Instagram and I'm only going to follow X, Y, and Z because those are the things that genuinely help me. I'm going to go on YouTube. I'm going to start identifying videos that inspire me, that help me get to where I need to be. Because once I listen to that, I'm having a, you know, for example, on I've got a huge YouTube playlist or multiple different playlists, and I can go to those multiple different playlists given how I might be feeling on a said day. I'm like, God, I'm feeling a bit down in this area, or I just can't quite think about this thing. I've got a certain playlist which I'll go to, which will help me just take me out of my current situation and take me into a situation of just thought, bang, there's the thought I was looking for, or I actually feel a lot better about that now. You see where this is going? It's all environmental. It's all about surrounding yourself, like we say, surround yourself with excellence. There's no reason, no shock, no coincidence that Ben and I have done what we've done in the world, relatively short time of business that we've been at it, because we surround ourselves with good people, and each, and well, both of us keep ourselves accountable.
In this element of trying to stay motivated halfway through and in the middle of the grind, I feel like you're kind of saying, set yourself up to win. Like, look around you, set up your lifestyle, set up the people you're around, set up your phone, set yourself up to win. What do you guys do practically and literally at home that helps set you to win?
I think in the last couple of episodes, we've definitely hit on some points. You know, I mentioned about self-talk. My own way of self-talking is, it's just, it is literally get on with it. Like, and it is that sentence of nothing will stop me. I exercise. That's a huge part of my ability to think with clarity. I genuinely have Forrest Gump moments where I'll just keep running because I'll ring Tomo. I find my best ideas come from running. So I, or out there doing something, road biking or something. I pretty much thought of most of the ideas within my book from being out on my feet, which is a long time. But we've had so many business decisions when I've rung him and I'm like, man, I've just thought of something. And then I'll turn right and just keep running just so I can still stay on the phone. Yeah. But it really, I find it's a release that it's my time. I think that's what people should always concentrate on doing, is find some time to give you time. We're very busy people. And I'm not talking about, you know, the pandemic and stuff, because everyone's been stuck at home. But in just normal life, which is now returned, is very busy. It's very, very busy. It's very full on. And it feels like you're traveling at 1,000 miles an hour. You may have family, you may not. You may have a partner, you may not. You may live alone. It's still very busy. And you've got to find those moments where you can just go somewhere and just switch off. Or I think for me, it's not switching off. It actually is a different form of switching on. If I go for a run, I think completely differently. And I find there's a bit more innovation there. So then I'll ring him going, man, I've had an idea. We need to talk about this. Poor him. Poor Tomo has to listen to me breathing down the phone for an hour. But it's great. And I think you need to find those places where it's okay to be selfish. Self-development starts with the word self. Self-discipline starts with the word self. Be selfish. Give yourself an hour to think about something a day. I know you're not too dissimilar, but you have your own other little ways, don't you?
Yeah, I primarily find it in things like meditation, or just pick up a book, or just go and walk in the garden. Whatever, it's just take my shoes off, socks off, and just let me feel the grass, sorry. And you know, I don't do an extraordinary amount of exercise. Part of that is limitation anyway, but I will go for a walk. Walking and just that time alone is so crucial. Like Ben said, I think it's really important to have that time to do things for you.
Now, I really believe in this sort of selfish way of thinking, not all the time, but you know, give you time. And like you said, books and audiobooks. We do a lot of driving, and there's a lot of time sat there listening to books. One of the best things someone we work with said, which I really picked up on, and it was literally a fleeting comment, was they sit in silence in the car because it helps them think. And I've tried this so many times, and it is so good. You know, people do say, well, you live far apart from each other, and obviously the new offices, you've got to drive an hour to get there each morning. But actually, that's 2 hours a day for me to sit in the car and be like, all right, what are we doing? Where are we going? Have real, like, sort of Goodwill Hunting, Matt Damon moments where I'm just like numbers everywhere thinking about stuff. But it's, I think it's amazing to be like that. And I think one thing during that period is reflection. We say it all the time, is I got caught up in the bandwagon of you know, listening to these morning 5 a.m. routines, and I do this every morning, and it's like this, you've got to be disciplined, and if you're not getting up at 4:30, it's never going to work. And we mentioned it in a few podcasts ago, when you have two children and a business to run, that doesn't exist. You have to get up when you want. And I found it really relaxing to be in my own routine. Like, sort of, yeah, I set the alarm if I fancy setting the alarm. If not, I just get up at bed because my body's rested, it's tired. And I like thinking, you know, Steve Jobs is someone that, whether you love him or loathe him, I have a huge amount of admiration for what he achieved. he was ruthless in times, and I know people will say negative things about him, positive things. I see so much because he changed the world in his belief in himself and his ability to, you know, do things like Tomo does, where and I do it as well. You just go for a walk and think on your own. You look like a weirdo, but just walk with your hands in your pocket and think. And there's a quote he says which has forever stuck with me and will always stick with me, because I believe I warm to it, because I feel Tomo and I in this sentence, in our own way of thinking, because I never thought I'd ever amount to be anything. I thought I was a waster. I thought I'd be a drug addict and then end my life. I thought that's what I was destined to do. And now we do what we do, and it's amazing. And he said, the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Every single person listening to this now has the ability to think like that. You may not change the world in the way Apple did. You may do. But you have the ability to change your own world. And that's what Steve was talking about. Be crazy and think like that. And for me, that comes from being able to just sit in the car and think, what is the fucking bold thing no one's thinking about doing today? And ring Tomo and say, I know this sounds a big idea, but shall we go with it? And he does the same, because there is that belief in ourselves that be crazy enough to do it and you'll do it. And I think that's why we've got to where we are in the short space of time of trading. And I think that's why we found our way into the Marines. And I think that's why we bring value to the listeners who are listening to this podcast, because you need that way of thinking when the grind hits.
You've been listening to Commando Mindset. Check us out on socials at @commando_mindset. We'll be back next Wednesday.
Commando Mindset.